does refreshment look like for you? Can God provide physical, mental, or emotional refreshment, or all three of these? Welcome to River City Church Online. Glad to see you here this morning. We all need to feel refreshed regularly, daily and frequently, especially in the summer and after and during the pandemic. Today, we start to plan in advance to be people who are refreshed not just in the summer, but all year long. You may be watching online and wondering, how do I connect with this church? Because you might have questions this morning. You can reach out to us by going to our website, send us a message, and we will get back to you. On our menu, click on Contact Us, and that will send your message to us. It's time for Worship with Sean, and Daryl will be right up after that. Enjoy the morning, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Well, hey, good morning, River City. I'm taking you on a little bit of a hike this morning. We're on a path near my house. My kids like to call it the Secret Garden Path, though I like to call it the Fred Penner Path, because as we go down here, you can see there's like a tree branch that I have to duck under, and then a little bridge over top of a stream there that I've got to jump over. And so for those of you that are old enough to remember the show, it kind of reminds me of that, the opening scene of Fred Penner when he's climbing into his little area where he'd do his show in the middle of the woods. And hang on one sec. There we go. And what I love most about this is that right down in the middle here, you kind of come down a steep embankment, you cross that little river, and then you climb up the other side. And it reminds me of that song that we did 14 months ago now, right at the beginning of pandemic. It was the first video that we did together as a team when pandemic started back in May 2020. And it's a song called Valley. And it's a song that sings out the truth and the words of Psalm 23 in a bit of a different way. And so this morning I thought, let's dig back into the vault and let's pull that song out and sing that song together, to hear that those words anew and to sing them together again. Before we do that, though, I want to take a moment and just reflect on Psalm 23 together. And so I've prepared a little video that's going to help us to just meditate on those words of Psalm 23. But for those of you that know Psalm 23 well, the words are going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. And I hope that you have a chance to hear them in a fresh and new way this morning, and that you'll lift your voice with me as we sing those words, "Even in the valley, I will fear no evil." Would you worship God with me this morning?
never said there'd be no pain, but you promised you'd go with me, and your promises you always keep. Lord, I confess how much I need you. I confess that I am weak. I can't promise I won't fail you, but your promises will not fail me. And when I'm in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. There is beauty in the struggle. You don't waste a single day. Your presence is my shelter. Your presence is my victory. Oh. And when I'm in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow. And when I'm in the valley, I will fear no evil. When enemies surround me, you prepare a table. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Enough to know, oh, you are faithful. And I can't see it all, but I have seen enough to know, oh, you are faithful. And I can't see it all, but I have seen enough to know. Oh,
Well, good morning, River City Church. On this last weekend of July, hope you're having a great weekend. I want to thank you for tuning in and for participating in this online service with us today, this worship service. Right now, as you're watching this, I'm away with my wife, Barb. We are out of town celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary, and that's a big deal, right? It's a testament to our commitment to each other, but it's an even greater testament to God's faithfulness to us over all of that time and all the ups and downs of being together for 30 years. You've all heard the saying, the best laid plans, right? Well, we had plans for Jason Dykstra, whom a number of you know. He plays guitar in our band from time to time. He's also an instructor with the University of Waterloo and with Conrad Grebel College. He's a mediation specialist. He's a qualified mediation specialist. We had Jason booked to be at River City for today, both the online and the in-person. But 2 weeks ago, Jason broke his foot. So he broke his driving foot. So he said, I can't be there, but I can provide you with a video. So he did provide us with a video of a message that he had recorded that fits perfectly with this refresh theme, this new series that we're starting today. And so we thought everything was a go. But then as we were watching the video, we discovered that to make it creative, Jason interspersed some audio clips into that. And so we don't have the copyright to be able to show those audio clips or to feature those audio clips in our online service. But for those of you who are at the in-person service today, you'll get to hear Jason Dykstra. The rest of you are going to hear a message that I actually preached about a year ago, last June. And it was on listening prayer. And I listened to that message again this week. And believe it or not, I learned some new things, even though I wrote that message last year. So I want to encourage you to stay tuned. The whole theme of listening prayer, it ties in well with the theme of this series, which is refresh. And so I trust that God has something good for each and every one of you this morning. So enjoy. Well, good morning, River City Church. It's so good to spend this time with you this morning. Listen, we're just 4 weeks into our Set Free series, and boy, oh boy, we have covered a lot of ground already, haven't we? One of the men in my small group put it well this week. He said, man, I have so much on my plate right now with all the changes that I'm trying to make as a result of what I'm learning in our Set Free series. I'm learning to walk daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm learning to guard against enemy strongholds in my life. I'm learning how to practice daily confession of sin. I'm learning to speak up against racism and injustice. Reading between the lines, this fellow from my men's group was saying something like this: Daryl, this series is really, really challenging. Like, anytime soon, are we going to be like taking the foot off the gas and easing up a little bit? And he's absolutely correct. This is a challenging, challenging series. However, if living set free was easy, we'd see a lot more followers of Jesus Christ who gave evidence of living set free lives, wouldn't we? The truth of the matter is it's not easy. Becoming the person that God is calling us to become is not easy. Restoring a human heart or a human life is not easy. Most of us, though, myself included, are impatient, right? We're impatient. Let me get honest for just a second here. Most of us, okay, all of us, when we accept God's Son, Jesus, as the forgiver of our sins and as the leader of our lives, we're realizing that some things in our lives need changing. In fact, we come to Jesus because we want him to begin some of those changes. We want life change. We want to be set free from some things. And so we accept him as our Savior. But here's what else we want. Here's what else we expect. We want the new car. We want the new car. At that moment of decision, at the moment we're baptized or we make public profession of our faith, we want the new car. We want God to turn us from what we are into a brand new car. We expect instant and complete transformation, like poof. No more rust on the body, no more knock in the engine, no more vibration in the dash. We want the shiny new tires and the fancy rims, and we even want that new car smell in our lives, don't we? What we expect is complete, instant, total transformation. Everything new. After all, isn't this what the Bible is promising in passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? Let me read it for you. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." Listen and listen carefully, because this is really important. Yes, anyone who's accepted Jesus as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life is a new creation. That's a fact. Their sins are forgiven. They're born again, to use Jesus' language. Instantly, the person has a new standing before God the Father. However, this does not mean that all of their weaknesses, all of their bad habits, all of their character flaws are instantly and completely changed for the good. It just don't work that way. It don't work that way. So we want the new car. God, however, maybe heard this said, God doesn't make junk. He doesn't give up on what's old. He discards no one. God is in the restoration business. So what's God do? Well, he takes us as we are in Christ Jesus, and he begins to restore us. He begins to restore us, such that if we partner with him, if we give him permission to work in our lives, then eventually we end up looking like this. A beautiful, restored, classic car, right? A beautiful, restored, classic car, which has a lot more character than a brand new muscle car, doesn't it? Now, some of you listening or watching today, you've restored classic cars, and you know it's a lot of work. It requires an awful lot of elbow grease and an awful lot of time and often a lot of expense as well. The car in that picture, that transformation from the before and after of that Mustang, took its owner 2 years. Now realize, a car is just a bunch of glass and plastic and metal and rubber parts. How much longer do you think it takes to restore a human heart, a human life? It's a long time, right? A long time. So my encouragement to you, my invitation is that you be patient, and let's give ourselves lots of grace. Let's give ourselves lots of grace because God does. God gives us grace. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 declares that love is patient. And God loves us. God loves you so much. And he is so incredibly patient. So let's be patient with ourselves during this Set Free series, not only, but during this whole heart and life restoration that God is involved in with us, those of us who are participating actively in this series. All to say that we should not be surprised that our plates are full right now with this Set Free series. All to say that we should not be discouraged with the amount of effort and hard work that this requires. Now that said, our topic for today is lighter than any topic that we've looked at up until this point in our series. So if you've been hoping that the pedal would come off the gas a little bit, well then this morning's message is custom made for you. We've been talking about our spiritual enemy, Satan, or the devil, and his spiritual forces of darkness and evil. And together, these forces of darkness and evil, they endeavor to take us down. The Bible tells us that Satan is on the prowl, right? He's looking for opportunities to create a foothold in your life and in mine. And his aim, once he gets that foothold, is to turn it into a stronghold, right? A platform from which he can begin to operate, have control, have influence, and exert power. So we have a formidable enemy, And in our own power, we are severely outclassed. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God is greater. Repeatedly, the Bible tells us, that the name of Jesus is above every name, higher than any power, greater than any other person or force. What's more, God graciously provides us his full armor so that we can defend against the devil getting a foothold, let alone a stronghold in our lives. We looked at that in week one of this series when we looked at Ephesians chapter 6. Further, if the devil does get a foothold or a stronghold, God provides spiritual weapons that we can use to get him out, spiritual weapons that we can use to eradicate him and evict him from our lives. And in this series, you're going to get five spiritual weapons. We've already looked at one of them. That was 2 weeks ago. And that spiritual weapon, a very powerful weapon, is confession, right? Confession and repentance. That's where we started. Well, this morning, you're going to get a second spiritual weapon that you can use to evict enemy strongholds from your life. And this second weapon is prayer. And more specifically, this second weapon is something called listening prayer. Listening prayer. What would you say if I told you that prayer wasn't meant to just be a one-way conversation, but an actual dialogue? That's right. Prayer can be a two-way conversation between you and your God. I'd go so far as to say that if your prayers are always and only monologue, if they're always and only a one-way, you doing all the talking and having no sense of hearing from God or God participating, then your prayer life is going to get incredibly boring. I'll never forget my first experience of listening prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd heard of listening prayer prior to my first experience. I'd heard about people who genuinely felt that they were hearing from God, that they were having conversations with God. But I'd never experienced it, let alone attempted it myself. And so my first experience of listening prayer, it came the year before we started this church. We started this church in January of 2003. So this would have been sometime in 2002. I would have been 33 at the time. And I remember it very clearly. I was in a car with Simon. And I had just invited Simon and his wife Kim to prayerfully consider being part of the team that would help us to launch River City Church. And right after I invited him, we'd just gone out for coffee. Right after I invited him, Simon offered to pray for us and as he considered this decision. And that was great. And so I expected Simon to begin praying. And while I don't remember the exact content of that prayer, I do remember how it started. It started with about probably 30 seconds of uncomfortable silence. In fact, I thought, even though he was the one who offered to pray, was I the one supposed to be praying because he wasn't saying anything? And just when I was ready to start, then he began. But there was this really long pause, like he was actually asking God what he should be praying for. Like he was actually having a conversation with God. That's the first thing that was unique about Simon's prayer. The second was that at different points throughout his prayer, he would pause. He would ask God a question, and then he would pause like he was actually waiting for God to answer him, confident that God could and maybe would respond to those questions. And again, I had the clear sense that Simon was listening for God's voice. And I could tell from how Simon prayed that listening prayer was a regular part of his walk with God, a regular part of his Christian life. Well, in the years since that time, I have tried listening prayer, but never with the education and never with the training until this January. In January, I had an opportunity to go to a church renewal weekend in Manitoba with another member of our church, and it was there that I got the education on this Christian spiritual practice, and I actually got some training in how to do listening prayer. And so since then, since January, I've been practicing listening prayer. And usually when I do it, it's with a journal. It's with me writing a statement, writing a question to God, and then just waiting for some inspiration and then literally writing down what I believe God is saying. But I've been doing that on a weekly basis since January. And sometimes I receive what I consider a clear word from God, and sometimes I don't. I mean, God is God after all, right? Nevertheless, I have heard from God clearly enough and often enough to believe in listening prayer. And it's my conviction that a growing, maturing walk with God is greatly facilitated when God's people learn how to practice listening prayer themselves. So that's our topic this morning, listening prayer. What I didn't discover till 33 and what I haven't been practicing until age 50 is something some of you, much, much younger, are going to learn a little bit about this morning. This is just scratching the surface. We're going to have some seminars on listening prayer that we'll be offering in the fall or sooner. But today, we're going to get an idea of this. And by the end of today's message, you'll be able to begin practicing listening prayer yourself. For starters, you should know that there is no clear proof text or command to practice listening prayer in the Bible. There's no like one passage in the Bible that says you, if you are a follower of Jesus, must practice this spiritual discipline called listening prayer. However, the Bible does include various examples, various encouragements, and various supports for listening prayer. And I'll give you two examples of each. Two examples, two encouragements, and two supports straight from Scripture. The obvious place, perhaps, to start would be 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's a clear example of listening prayer. The boy Samuel is living in the temple with Eli the high priest. He's sleeping near the Ark of God, which people envisioned representing God's presence. And God calls out to the boy, but the boy doesn't recognize God's voice. This happens once, it happens twice, it happens three times, and Samuel's not sure what's happening. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Well, he goes to Eli, and eventually Eli, the high priest, figures out what's going on, and he gives Samuel a spiritual exercise, and it's a listening prayer exercise. He says, and I quote from verse 9, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And armed with that concrete example of listening prayer, Samuel was able to hear and recognize God's voice. One example from Scripture. A second powerful example of listening prayer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 is in the New Testament, and here Paul is speaking to a young church consisting mostly of young or new followers of Christ, and yet here's what he says, and this should come up on your screen. "Well," so this is toward the end of the book, toward the end of the letter. "Well," he's summing up, "my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together," in other words, when you come together as believers for a corporate worship service, "when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation that God has given, one will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you." Now, did you notice the components of that early worship service in the church of Corinth? There was singing. We have singing in our worship services in most churches today. There was teaching. That's what this is, right? There's teaching in most churches today. But that next element, someone will receive a special revelation that God has given. We don't see a lot of evidence of that in churches today. And yet here in the church of Corinth, we get a clear example of someone receiving a word through listening prayer, a revelation from God, and sharing that with the congregation. So those are a couple of scripture examples. Let me give you a couple of encouragements. Where from Scripture might believers be encouraged to practice listening prayer? Well, I'll start with a passage that's come up at least once before in our series, Set Free, and that's David's prayer from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David prays, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So David looks to God in this prayer because he wants to be led by God. He wants to be led by God on a daily basis. And being wise, David recognizes our human capacity for self-deception. And so he invites God to search his heart. He invites God to reveal to him, to tell him if there's any offensive way in his life. And I picture David, after asking God to search his heart, I picture him pausing and listening for Holy Spirit conviction or clear guidance, a clear word from God. That's an encouragement to practice listening prayer, isn't it? Another one comes from Psalm 25, verse 14, which reads, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." This isn't talking about God's general instructions, which any believer who has access to Scripture can access. To confide is to take someone into your confidence, the way a close friend confides in another close friend. It's an encouragement to practice listening prayer. God wants to be your friend. He wants to confide in you and me. And let me give you two examples from the Bible of support for the practice of listening prayer. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus declares, "My sheep," my followers, "my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So Jesus here is declaring that his sheep hear his voice. Not heard his voice as in past tense, not will hear his voice as in the future, but my sheep hear my voice in the present tense. And what's more, the verb hear is in the indicative mood, which is the mood of certainty. So with confidence, Jesus declares, "My sheep, my followers will hear my voice. They will hear my voice." A second support for listening prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And this is Paul's prayer for the believers in the church of Ephesus. Listen to this. So he's praying this for them. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." So Paul prays that these believers would be given the spirit of what? Of wisdom and of revelation. Why? So they would know God better. This verse, in my estimation, it answers or provides us with the goal of listening prayer. Why do we practice listening prayer? Is it just so that we have a cool word that we believe or are confident came from God? So we get this special, unique insight that will enable us to live better lives? No, the goal in listening prayer is that we would have a closer, more intimate, more alive relationship with our Father God. The goal is a closer relationship. Similar to this, if I take my wife Barb out for a dinner on our anniversary is July 27, so it's next month. Hopefully more of the restrictions will be lifted by then so that we can actually go out to a nice restaurant like the Mill. If I take my wife out for our anniversary to celebrate, this year it'll be 29 years of marriage. When we're sitting there at this nice restaurant, my focus is not on taking my phone out and getting pictures of the juicy steak and the nice display on the plate so that I can upload that to Instagram and show all my friends. And the next day when people say, "How was your anniversary?" I don't go into all the details about, you know, what we ate and what the dessert was and so forth. The focus during the meal and the focus in my telling people about my anniversary is on my relationship with my wife.
The focus is on my wife, Barb. And the goal of our anniversary, of our going out together, is that we get closer to each other. It's the same with listening prayer. The goal is that this will draw us closer to God, that it will deepen our relationship with Him. So if Scripture gives clear examples, clear encouragements, and clear supports for the practice of listening prayer, the million-dollar question, why do so few Christians hear God, right? Why is it that most prayers of most believers, maybe most of you and most of the prayers that I've prayed over the years, are like a monologue? They're like a one-way conversation where we speak and where we don't hear. Well, let me give you eight reasons, quickly give you eight reasons why most believers don't hear from God. Number one, and maybe this is the biggest reason, most believers have never been taught to hear God, right? I suspect most of you watching today or listening today have never been taught. This is all new material for you. You've never heard of listening prayer, or you've never practiced listening prayer. It'd be like a young aspiring pitcher, right? When you pitch a baseball, right? One of the most natural and easiest pitches to throw, maybe not to throw fast, but is a fastball, right? It's just to whip the ball to the person behind the batter, right? A fastball. And if you don't have a coach, if no one teaches you about a slider or a sinker or a curveball, then you're only going to discover those if you happen to stumble across them, right? And you'll discover them a lot quicker if there's a coach teaching you how to throw that curveball, right? How to throw a curveball well. So the first reason is many believers have never been taught, and you've never been taught River City. We haven't talked about listening prayer at River City until today. A second huge reason is this. Many don't hear from God because of the fear that it will lead to chaos in the church. Let's face it, listening prayer, it sounds too subjective. It sounds too prone to emotionalism and downright dangerous. It sounds dangerous. This whole God told me, right? The whole God told me has been used by various believers through the ages in terrible and even abusive ways. And so for sure, we have to guard against that. As Pastor Ray Dirksen indicates, and I quote, "By not laying down careful rules and standards where the Holy Spirit's gifts and hearing from God are concerned, the church has been neglectful and brought disrepute to the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the church of God." End of quote. So what careful rules should we apply to listening prayer? Let me give you four, and again, very quickly. Number one, whatever we believe we've heard must be consistent with God's word in the Bible. Scripture itself provides the parameters. If what we're hearing is outside the bounds of Scripture, then it cannot be God's voice that we're hearing. The second parameter is related. Whatever we hear or believe we hear, it must be consistent with God's character as revealed in the Bible. It must be consistent with God's character. And when those two rules, actually those two rules will help in most instances, but when they don't, there's two other rules that you can apply. Number three, seek confirmation from one or two other mature, spirit-filled followers of Christ. So talk to some other believers and say, this is what I believe God is telling me. Would you pray about it? And could you tell me if you hear the same thing? Or does this make sense to you? And then the fourth test, seek confirmation by fact. I was discussing this point with our worship director, Sean Saunders, and he had a great analogy. He said, if you're a single young man, a single young Christian man, picture one of the young adults in our church, and you believe you've heard God through prayer tell you that a certain young Christian woman is going to be your wife, then you've got those four tests that you can apply. Using the scripture test, we know that God's will for believers is that they will marry other believers. So in this instance, that passes the scripture test. And if she's single, it passes the scripture test. Number two, You know that God blesses marriage and he wants his followers to live an abundant, joyous life. And so it could certainly pass the God's character test, number two. Three, you could go and talk to one or two other leaders of your church and maybe they'll confirm that, yeah, that would be a great woman for you to ask to marry you. However, number four, if you go to this woman and you ask her to marry you and she says, I have no desire to marry you, the facts bear out that you haven't heard accurately from God, right? So those are four tests that we can use, the most important being the first one, which is, does this line up with what we read in Scripture? Scripture is our primary authority. Third reason people, believers, don't hear from God, and I think this is more common than we might admit, is they really don't want to hear from God. Maybe they're afraid of that level of intimacy. Maybe they don't truly desire intimacy with God. Maybe they've watched too many Simpsons episodes of God, the old bearded man sitting on a cloud, and they're like, well, okay, I don't know that I necessarily want that person to be my friend. Maybe they have unconfessed sin, that they're just not ready to surrender to God. So that's a third reason. A fourth one is unbelief. Unbelief is incompatible with hearing God's voice. I'm quoting from James 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So doubt can be a barrier to hearing God. Reasons five and six why people don't hear from God, they're related. Number five is they're too busy to spend time listening to God. Let's face it, many people's lives are filled with a lot of eternally irrelevant matters. If when you sit down to pray, you're not really praying to hear from God. You're praying to check it off your list because you want to go play video games again, right? You're not going to hear from God. You're too busy. Number six, being impatient and rushing ahead, which begs the question, when I ask a question of God through listening prayer, how long shall I wait? And I think that's the answer to that question is between you and God. All I know is this, that if you look at Exodus chapter 24, verse 16, you discover that in an instance when Moses prayed, he waited 6 days. He waited 6 days for an answer from God. Seventh reason people don't hear from God is fear of confusing God's thoughts with our thoughts. And of all the reasons I've given so far, I think this is a real and it's a legitimate concern. And really, the only way to distinguish God's voice from our own is through practice. Just like the only way to throw a curveball when your coach teaches you how to hold the ball is to practice. This is something that takes practice. Maybe too many believers are too busy or too impatient to invest the time to practice listening prayer. And then number eight, the final one. People don't hear from God because they're listening for a loud, audible voice. It's interesting, in this world that we live in, when people want to be heard, when organizations or companies want to be heard, they turn up the volume, right? They pepper us with more ads, and those ads come at us from various angles, or they turn up the volume on the television, or whatever it is, we turn up the volume, we get louder. But there are many instances in the Bible when God wants to speak to us, he gets quieter. I don't know. Maybe it's because he really wants to know who truly is willing to clear the clutter and the noise away so they can hear from him. But God, when he speaks to us, it's more of a silent inner conviction. It's certainly not an audible voice. All right, so I've told you what listening prayer is. I've provided you some examples, some encouragements, and some supports from Scripture. I want to end by giving you a four-step process that you can use to start practicing listening prayer for yourself, those of you who are ready. And to make this memorable, it's based on the acronym STAR. The acronym STAR, S-T-A-R. And that acronym actually comes from one of Pastor Dirksen's sons, who wasn't a pastor at the time, but now he's a pastor on staff at the same church as their father. So the S in STAR stands for stop. Right? Stop what it is that you're doing. Find a quiet place. Psalm 46, verse 10 includes this instruction from God. Be still and know that I am God. Most of us have learned how to multitask with many things, right? It's kind of a necessary skill in our age. You can't multitask with listening prayer. If you're going to practice listening prayer, it's the one thing that you can do at that particular time. Stop. The T in STAR is take a breath, take a deep breath. What's interesting is that science has progressed to the point where we know that something biochemical happens within us when we stop and when we fill our lungs deeply and slowly, right? When we do this, the cortisol in our brains goes down and the serotonin in our brains goes up, right? So one goes down, the other goes up. Cortisol blocks memory and lessens brain function. Serotonin increases memory and increases brain function. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, God tells us, in quietness and trust is your strength. So S, stop. T, take a deep breath. A, right? The A in STAR is next. And A has two stages. The first A is appreciate. Take a moment before you go to God and ask anything to appreciate all that God has done for you, to appreciate who God is and what God has provided for you. And of all the things that he's provided for you, the most important is what he's provided for you in his son, Jesus Christ. Take time to appreciate him, to bless his name, to offer him praises. If you're finding you're short on ideas of how to bless God's name, how to appreciate him, open your Bible to Psalms, because almost every single psalm includes a portion of appreciation. And just use those words to guide you. That's the first stage in the A of STAR, appreciate. The second A, as you probably guessed, is ask, right? Ask God to speak to you clearly and in a way that you'll understand. Ask God to speak to you clearly. And then ask your specific questions of God. Ask your question of God. S, stop. T, take a deep breath. A, appreciate and ask. And then the R is respond. How do we respond? How should we respond when God speaks to us? And the answer is we should respond in obedience, with obedience. Give you an example. This is from my own listening prayer exercise that I did not 3 weeks ago. It's within the last 3 weeks. And I was doing as David did in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I asked God to search my heart. And I said, God, is there in my life right now, what is an area where I'm falling short of how you want me to walk, how you want me to live? And I listened. And right away, something jumped out. And it wasn't something that was on my mind. It wasn't something that I'd been thinking about at all. And the answer was this. You're not cherishing Barb, your wife, the way that I want you to cherish her. I want you to cherish Barb. So that was the message from God. And I was 100% certain that I was hearing from God in that instance. It wasn't one of the times where I wondered, could this be God or is this just me? It was like, okay, this is a clear word from God. And so I thanked him for that. And then guess what my response was? My response was to obey. First thing when I got home later that day, because this happened in my devotions at my office, when I got home later that day, I told Barb what I'd heard from the Lord. And I made that my focus, to cherish her more as my bride, as my wife. Because other than Jesus Christ, God's greatest gift to me is the gift of my wife, Barb. So that's been something that I've been focusing on in an attempt to obey God, having heard his clear voice. So, friends, our first weapon for rooting out the devil, for getting enemy strongholds out of our lives, is confession. And this morning, we've discovered a second powerful weapon for evicting our enemy, our spiritual enemy, and that is listening prayer. And maybe you're thinking this through and you're saying, well, how does that work as a spiritual weapon? Let me try to explain this. Listening prayer is about abiding in Christ. It's about seeking Holy Spirit revelation. It's about growing closer to God in our relationship and our walk with him. And John, the Apostle John, tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, by way of contrast, Satan is darkness. The forces of evil are called forces of darkness, right? So the more we walk in light, the more that we have fellowship with God, the less accommodating our hearts and lives will be for spiritual forces of darkness. In other words, the more ground that we gain for God in our lives, the less ground that's available for enemies of God. So that's listening prayer. You've heard about it now at River City. You have the STAR acronym, right? Stop, take a breath, appreciate and ask, and then respond with obedience. You have the STAR acronym to help you to begin to practice listening prayer. And as I've promised, soon we'll be offering a seminar on hearing God to help those of you who are struggling, because it does take practice. It's like throwing a curveball. It's going to take practice. It's going to take intentionality. Some of you are going to want to listen to this message twice, just so that it can sink in, because everything is new this morning. Before I pray with you, I want to reiterate that we have a devotional that accompanies this series. It's a daily devotional, and you can access that via a link in our e-news. If you're not signed up for our e-news, well, that's a clear invitation or encouragement for you to do that. And Melissa, in the announcements every week, explains how you can get hooked up with that. But it's a great day, and I want you to enjoy it. So let me pray with you. Let's pray. Loving Father God, we live in a world with trouble. We don't need to be convinced of that. No one's got to make a case for that, because we are in pandemic and we are seeing trouble on the news nearly every single day. And in this world of trouble, we have not just physical people and forces that can make life difficult. We have, and this is especially true, we have spiritual forces, maybe that are impacting physical people, that are trying to disrupt our lives and disrupt our families and disrupt our walk with you. And among those spiritual forces is the devil, or Satan, the father of lies. God, when we hear this, it can be frightening. But as we've been reminded in today's message, you are greater. The name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, is higher. And so we look to you. We praise you for your gracious provision of spiritual armor. Help us to put it on, every piece, with care. We praise you for spiritual weapons. We're going to learn five. We've learned about confession, and this morning we've learned about listening prayer. Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would extend much grace to anyone listening, anyone watching today who's never heard about listening prayer, maybe has never practiced listening prayer, but this week, today, they're going to take what they've heard and they're going to seek to practice this. I pray that you would just grant them a clear word from you to encourage them, and to reveal to them that you do desire friendship with them. Lord, this is a challenging series. Give us what we stand in need of, to show up each week ready to learn and ready to grow. And would you bless us all with much joy and safety in the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today was our second week of in-person services. Maybe you're interested in attending in person next week. If so, This is to remind you to go to our website and register starting Wednesdays for in-person services. Diapers for Dawn. We are collecting diapers throughout August. Dawn Crisis Pregnancy Center supports moms of all ages who have experienced a pregnancy crisis. They could use our support with the most needed items. If you would like to donate but are far from Cambridge, or just want to donate online instead, go to our website and click on online giving, or send an e-transfer to finance@rivercitychurch.org. Also, send a follow-up email to finance@rivercitychurch.org to share that your financial gift is for Dawn Pregnancy Center. Join us for midweek walk and talk. Wednesday, River City Church, you can meet up at St. Benedict's Tract at 7 p.m. That's it for today. Hope to see you back for more refreshment next week.